You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com.
Tidbit brought to you by Curate. We are live at the Lion Hotel in Washington, D.C., and I'm your host and the CEO of Curate, Kim Bryden. Do you run a small business or have dreams to start one? Well, here at the Tidbit, we've got your back. Each week, we talk through tidbits of knowledge around starting or running a small business with a food and beverage lens. And as always, we jump off each show of the Tidbit with a little tidbit of knowledge on what we've been reading, listening to, or learning. And this is derived from a bi-weekly newsletter that we send out at Curate. In it, we discuss what we're reading, eating, drinking, listening to, and learning. Five quick morsels of information to get you in the know and on top of your game. So head over to curate.co, C-U-R-E-A-T-E.co to sign up. We have a send going out this week. So I have been listening to Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert podcast, specifically his Experts on Expert series. And to be honest, I'm not the biggest Dax Shepard fan as an actor, but I really enjoy his conversation style and questioning of his guests. And in particular, relevant to this show at least, Dax had hosted Samin Nosrat, which is... Well, if you don't know Samin, you might be living under a rock right now, because she is the author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat cookbook and is now the Netflix personality under the show with the same name, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. And so to tee up our discussion today, I want you to take a listen to how Samin describes her first experience at Chez Panisse, where she ended up working. Chez Panisse is one of the most lauded restaurants in the country and is known for being one of the inspirations for the style of cooking now known as California cuisine. So take a listen to Samin.
Ever been to a restaurant that felt like going to someone's really nice home?
Oh, uh-huh.
And that's what it feels like. Again, at the time, I mean, I was 19. I definitely was not aware of or couldn't have articulated all the individual things that I was seeing and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I understand, for example, like you walk in and there's these amazing flower displays.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, and until very recently, Chez Panisse was the only restaurant in the country that had an in-house, like on-staff florist.
Who,
now it's like everywhere you go and on Instagram, there's these sort of wild style floral displays that look like a garden brought inside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the woman who started that like 40 something years ago at Chez Panisse is like the mother of that style. Like had I ever even paid attention to a flower besides like the dozen roses my mom bought once in a while? No, but like these things sort of like implant some, on some subconscious level, like on Alice is obsessed with copper and the way that light bounces off of copper and the way that that makes people look in a dining room. It's really flattering light.
Oh.
And it's really warm light. And so there's all these copper light fixtures, and on every table there was a copper lantern. Later I learned that the man who was on staff, who built all of that stuff and that handiwork, was from Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
And there were a couple of Afghan families who
sometimes you just don't have the words to really describe the feeling you have in a space. And in fact, at Whole Foods Market and many grocery stores, it's very intentional that there are flowers at the entrance to indicate freshness. And like Samin said, it's planting this subconscious clue onto you as the guest, the consumer, about what you're about to experience when you go into a space. So how do you, as a business owner, translate those feelings that you want to inspire into words? And why do you want it to be translated into words in the first place? How do you get that into the design, the look and feel? How do you communicate that to your employees or even your general contractors as they're building the space? Because each one of these touch points eventually gets translated to your guests. So today we are joined by Alexi New, the co-founder of Noted, a branding consultancy that partners with clients to translate these visions into resonant brands through strategy and messaging. And Noted is actually headquartered in DuPont Circle at the Brewmaster Studios, which interestingly is a creative cooperative in the Carriage House adjacent to the Hurech House Museum?
Yep, Hurech. Yep.
Hurech, thank you. So let's get started. We're having today a mini-sode on three tips for building your brand identity. So let's go. Tip number one, clarify your concept. Tell us more, Alexi.
So for almost all of Noted's clients that are starting a new business, a service line, a restaurant, you name it, we begin with the brand foundation. Many of our clients are overwhelmed with ideas and they don't know where to start in creating a brand. So we walk our clients through a visioning workshop where we talk to them about their concept and its strengths, and we boil everything down to create a guidebook that captures the key ideas clearly and succinctly.
Mm.
So that includes the core commitments that a brand is built on, what we call the brand pillars, mm-hmm. the brand's voice, its promise, and also a narrative that tells the story of the brand. It's vital to have a distilled concept, and we really help our clients communicate their ideas. And when they work with us, they have this aha moment where they feel that their ideas are captured really concisely in this brand foundation document. And also, as you mentioned, and as we heard in the Samin Nosrat anecdote, for food and beverage businesses, having those core ideas, there are ways that that permeates in the built environment, in the space. And when you think about what story you're going to tell, that can appear in everything from the way your guests are greeted to what's being shared on the menu, really all of those elements.
I love that. And I think the most important value proposition I have experienced in creating something that's foundational as a brand guidebook is it's not just a document that could sit on a shelf, right? It's very actionable. It could be a part of your employee training manual of how you're saying, how do your customers get greeted when they walk into a space through to, as I was mentioning, what are you telling your general contractor to actually build into this space from a design perspective. So I'm wondering if you have any particular clients at Noted that you could use as an example of how you've helped them craft and clarify their concept.
Sure, absolutely. We recently started working with the founder of Social Grace, which is a coaching and therapy practice that helps neurodiverse individuals develop their life skills.
Oh, interesting.
And many of Ginny's clients are on the autism spectrum, and she provides them with really valuable resources. She also provides a support group for their families. And so she's doing all of this amazing work, but she had trouble communicating to these various audiences all that she has to offer. So she connected with our team, and we ended up working with her to create this brand foundation and landed on three key pillars that guide her work, that guide the copy that we wrote for a new website that we're putting together with another local business called 23andNine Creative. And those pillars are an individualized and actionable approach that she partners with all of these people and meets them on their level and makes sure that she's really targeting her recommendations. This idea of connection on common ground, so people being able to relate in a social atmosphere, families being able to connect together and share and relate about their experiences. And finally, creative and interactive engagement. So not just sitting around and having a standard, sterile support group environment, but actually getting out and doing field trips and activities. And identifying those three pillars was really transformative for her. She already had this thriving practice, and we were helping her communicate those key ideas, and then we kept those top of mind when we were writing copy and new messaging for her site.
That is so, this is really hitting home to me, Lexi, because I feel like as entrepreneurs, you're constantly figuring out your product market fit, and you have all these products and services you could be offering, but you need, again, these umbrella statements, these core values to fit your products and services under. So that is such a good example. So let's move to tip number two. Tip number two, create an identity that captures this vision. So we talked about it a little bit, but tell us more.
Sure. So the digital and physical worlds are saturated with brands of every kind, and it's more critical than ever to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
And as crucial as it is to have that foundational piece, that needs to be brought to life in an identity so that the world out there can see what you have in your brain and see how focused these ideas are and get the message, right?
Definitely.
So that starts for us with naming. After we've done this brand foundation piece, we work with our clients to identify a name that really captures the spirit of a brand and is appropriate for that brand, and then it's translated via a logo and other graphic elements. But building that initial identity, name, and logo sets the tone for other pieces that follow. And it's really imperative to remember that that brand name needs to speak to the target audience. So one thing that we often find with our clients is they say, that doesn't work for me. You know, I had a friend from childhood who had a name like that, or I remember a movie that I didn't like that sounded like that name.
Yes.
And you have to remember to separate yourself from those personal associations.
Right.
And think about who you're going after, who this brand is actually targeting and needs to speak to.
That is fascinating. We are such emotional beings and we bring all of our past experiences with us, don't we?
We do.
I feel like this can be one of the hardest steps in the brand identity puzzle because it is taking this idea you have into reality. And like we're talking about, not everyone does have words for this. It just is a feeling. I feel like I don't like that name because it reminds me of my childhood friend. You're like, what? Like, where is this coming from? But yeah, like we heard in the beginning of the show, I'm wondering if you can provide another example that a brand you've worked on that took this vision into reality and really emphasized these core components of creating a vision.
Absolutely, Kim. So one thing that we do that we really enjoy is identify creative partners that we can collaborate with that can bring a vision to life, and it works both ways. So actually, for a recent project, we were brought in by a local design firm, General Design Company.
I love these resources.
Yeah,
thank you.
They're fantastic, and we love partnering with them. And so the ask was to help rebrand a Falls Church apartment community that had previously been under the Oakwood temporary stay umbrella. And a lot of residents had lived at this community for a long time, so they had strong attachments to it. Mm. And we ultimately renamed and rebranded it as Falls Green, and the brand recently debuted. But the idea was that it speak to a great City of Falls Church location and also capture a central outdoor space that was really a community gathering place and is actually being renovated and further amenitized. So that's the green piece, the backyard that brings everything together. And General Design Company did a fantastic job with the logo, which features an icon that's an aerial view of the four residential buildings and the clubhouse. So it subtly nods to that sense of community, this being a larger space, a neighborhood unto itself.
Ooh, that's so fascinating. And again, just being able to distill a concept into an icon, a logo, it's so important because I want to reference what you said at the top of this tip, that your digital presence has to mimic your offline experience. Because otherwise, when you're walking down a street or even a food product, you see it on a shelf, sometimes people won't always remember a name necessarily. Hopefully they do, but they can remember instantly a visual look and feel. And so I love how we're tying together all of these core elements of a brand, but I want to be cognizant, especially with tip number three, and that's striking the right tone. So this isn't I don't want to say the final piece of building your brand identity, but it is a crucial part to this, a whole kit of parts. So tell us more.
Right. Absolutely. I think that voice is often overlooked as an essential part of a brand.
Yes.
But it's a distinguishing factor for so many brands today. Like, what is that message and how are you sharing that story across different mediums and channels? It's not just having the right tagline, but how that's shared across social, on your website, in advertising. And the tone is not, you know, honestly, it's not just in the word choice, but it's in building partnerships and finding the right people that are on the same wavelength and really communicating what you value and putting that out there into the world.
Definitely. And I just think, again, pulling all of these tips together, when I've taught workshops around brand identity, I often emphasize that a brand is not just a logo, right? It's all of these components. And
totally.
I think oftentimes we as entrepreneurs think, can you please just design for me my social graphics? That will be my icon on social media. And it's like, no, a brand is bigger than this. So understanding that the brand has this guidebook, these foundational pillars in which you're building off your packages, your products and services, then what is that look and feel around a logo, an iconography, font choices, colors? But even, like you're saying, most importantly, this tone and how you're talking to your guests, it's really, really important. So I really want to think about how our listener right now can really visualize in their minds a company or brand that is a beacon in setting the tone. So do you have an example of a company that embodies that?
Sure. So locally founded And Pizza, I think, is a great example.
Great example.
Absolutely. So they started on H Street and now have locations across the nation. But they've really done such a strong job of creating this bold identity and then rolling it out and continuously executing on that iconic ideal vision. Mm-hmm. So everything from their pizza boxes, switching those up, doing a Love And Pizza campaign and switching that up, and as well as their the names of the pizzas that they're putting on their menus, you know, Moonstruck, Narlick, things that are fun and catchy and quippy. They have great messaging on Twitter. They're involved in local community projects. They fed people through the government shutdown and did a campaign around that. And they've really demonstrated that they're invested in their local community and have a voice and platform there. Mm-hmm. Partnering and opening Broccoli Bar and identifying other partners that were the right fit, I think, has really paid off for them. And they've continued to represent those ideals and their messaging and their voice and in their stores really authentically.
Definitely. And like we're saying, it's not just about the icon of the And Pizza, which is, again, iconic unto itself. I'm pretty sure even employees get it tattooed on them. They have a tattoo day where you as an employee can get the ampersand on you.
Yeah, but I love that.
But that aside, when you just, again, listener, when you think of a pizza place, oftentimes when you think of a pizza brand, it's Italian, red, maybe like a script font, right? It has a very particular like Jersey Italian pizza look to it, right? And Pizza went the exact opposite direction. Very minimalist, black and white. It's in the space, it's in their boxes, black and white photography on social media. And it just has an entire, a very strong look and feel and brand about it. And the idea of being it called And Pizza, the And community aspect, like you were saying, Alexi, is resonant in their strategic partnerships and how they communicate across platforms.
Absolutely. And they've really owned this counterculture pizza brand idea, as you were saying. It's very different than what you would expect, being an anti-establishment brand. And using some of those word choices has been really smart for them, because I think they've immediately differentiated from all of these other brands out there. And there are many, even in DC alone.
Absolutely. So to recap, listener, your three tips for building your brand identity. Tip one, clarify your concept. Tip two, create an identity that captures the vision. And tip three, strike the right tone. Alexi, if our listener is still just confused and feels like so complicated for them to get the right words out about their feelings, how can they find you to get some more clarity in their lives?
They can check us out at notedbranding.com or email us at hello@notedbranding.com. We're available and ready to help.
Amazing. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We would love if more budding entrepreneurs and listeners like you could find out about the tidbit. Our mission at Curate includes the sharing of education and access to resources. And the best way to reach more folks like you is to leave a review in iTunes. So I would be so appreciative if you could head over to your app, leave a little tidbit on there about what you've learned here on the show. And until next time, everyone, remember to scale thoughtfully and source locally. Thank you.